This week, we began 40 days and nights of Lent in imitation of Jesus, who, as we read in today's gospel, began his road to the cross by going out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. But why did Jesus go out into the desert in the first place? Why did he go out? It may surprise us to find that Scripture actually tells us at least one reason. It says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Why did Jesus choose to be tempted? Today's second reading reminds us that just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one, the many were made righteous. So we remember that Jesus came to reverse the sin of Adam and Eve, to undo what they had done. And to do that, he sets himself up to do the exact opposite of what Adam and Eve did in the beginning. So we go back to today's first reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, where we read the story of the fall of man and the original sin. And there we see the clear contrast between what Adam and Eve did in the beginning and what Jesus did in the desert at the beginning of his ministry. For example, first, Eve is tempted by the devil and gives in, whereas Jesus is tempted by the devil and refuses to give in. Second, Eve is living in a perfect paradise that God created for man, whereas Jesus is in the desert, symbolic of the desolation that sin had created for man. And third, we see the obvious, but often unspoken, Eve is a female and Christ is a male. Now, before you all start getting all defensive at me, I'm not going to pick on Eve. Think of this. Where is Adam when Eve is being tempted? In the beginning, Adam isn't there to defend his wife, to help her against the devil. But Jesus comes to defend his bride and rid his bride, Israel, of the attacks of the devil. And he will always be there for Israel and for the church, for his bride. And even as Adam freely chooses to follow his wife into sin, Jesus refuses to join his wife in sin, but rather comes to save her from sin. And so it can be said, as St. Paul does today, through one man, the many were made sinners. So through one, many may be made righteous. We'll talk more about these parallels later, but the point is, Christ came into the world to undo everything that Adam and with Eve did that day. The victory was completed on the cross, but the battle began in the desert. Jesus goes out to meet the devil in the desert to end all battles. So we look forward to Good Friday and to Easter Sunday. And as we do that, we begin by not only joining Jesus in his 40 days and nights of praying and fasting, but also we join him in all-out war with our sins and temptations. But what exactly is a temptation? It's very simple, really. Temptation is when something appears to us that is something that is bad appears to us to be good. Think about it. We never do bad things because we think of them as being bad. We do them because they seem at the time to be good. For example, the diabetic gives in and eats a piece of chocolate cake, not because he says to himself, "Oh goody, if I eat this, I'm going to feel really horrible." But rather, he eats it because he says to himself, "If I eat this, it will taste really good." Or when that person cuts you off in traffic, you don't think, "I really want to do evil to this person right now." No, you think, "It would really feel good if I screamed at this person? We see this in today's first reading. The devil doesn't point out the terrible consequences of disobeying God. No, he tells Eve, you will certainly not die. No, your eyes will be open and you will be like gods. He manipulates the truth, trying to make the evil thing seem to be good. This is temptation. But there are also two basic kinds of temptation. What we might say, internal temptation and external. Temptation that comes from within us and temptation that comes from outside of us. Again, we see both of these in the first reading today. For example, we see the external temptation of the devil. Notice how it's the devil who initiates the conversation. It says, the serpent asks the woman. The serpent comes from outside and approaches the woman. But the temptation of the devil isn't the only kind of external temptation. External temptation also comes from other human beings. And so Scripture tells us, Eve also gave some of the fruit to her husband, and he ate it. Sometimes this kind of temptation is willful and intended, but sometimes you don't even know that you're tempting someone. Eve might have talked Adam into it, sort of an active kind of intentional temptation, or Adam might have just looked at what she had done and followed her example. Still, the fact is, Adam was tempted by Eve from the outside. And we also see the internal temptation in this reading, but a bit more subtly. Scripture tells us that before they sin, everything is perfect in paradise. But after the sin, everything falls apart. Before they sin, they're happy and share themselves completely with each other. Scripture tells us they became one flesh, they were both naked and were not ashamed. And then after the sin, it tells us that all that harmony is gone. As we read, they realized that they were naked and they made loincloths for themselves. It's as if they couldn't decide inside of themselves, is this good or is this bad? So, while before the original sin, Adam and Eve were only tempted from the outside by the devil, after they've sinned, the confusion also starts to come from inside themselves. Traditionally, we call this internal confusion between good and evil caused by original sin. We call this concupiscence. All of us have this internal temptation, this concupiscence, because of the first sin. And so, St. Paul tells us today, through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. Through the disobedience of Adam and Eve, all of us develop this concupiscence, this tendency to be confused and to sin. Only Adam and Eve began life without this internal temptation, this internal source of temptation. That is, until Jesus and his mother Mary came along. So notice how Jesus, who is without concupiscence, just like Adam and Eve were at first, he's only tempted from the outside, just like Eve and Adam were tempted before their sin. It doesn't say that, you know, he was tempted to sin, it says that except by the devil. And so Jesus comes to begin everything new. He starts off in the same moral place as Adam and Eve, so that he can resist the temptation of the devil as they failed to do and begin to reverse the sin that they committed. Nowadays, some people say there is no devil. Or they may say that there is sort of an evil force in the world, but there's no personal evil, no personal evil being, no person who is the devil himself. But for Catholics and all Christians, it would be foolish to deny or ignore the devil's existence. Jesus didn't. Jesus knew the devil personally. And he went out to meet him and to fight him. And the devil personally hated Jesus, and the devil personally hates us. The devil personally tempted Jesus, and he still personally tempts us. But the thing is, the devil is not all-powerful. Only God is all-powerful. Jesus is all-powerful. And so Jesus beat the devil in the desert and conquered him on the cross. So when we face the fact of the devil's temptations and join Jesus in the desert this Lent and at the cross on Good Friday, Jesus can and will save us from the devil's temptations and protect us from the evil he tries to spread in our lives. As I said, many people deny the existence of the devil, much to their sorrow, because if they deny the existence of the devil, they deny the fact that he's tempting them. But not many people would deny the fact that we often tempt each other. The problem is, we usually don't take it very seriously. So during Lent, we need to consider carefully the extent of this kind of temptation present in our lives. First, we have to consider how other people tempt us, whether they mean to or not. Consider the friends we have, and perhaps the bad influence they may have on us. Doesn't mean we have to get rid of friends who have bad influence, but we have to be at least aware of it and maybe distance ourselves from those situations where they influence us, huh? Or consider the heroes we have, the examples we follow of other people. Why someone like Lady Gaga or Justin Bieber is more important to young people today than someone like Mother Teresa or Maria Goretti or Francis of Assisi, I can't even begin to figure out. But they are. And while we have to consider carefully how other people tempt us, we also have to consider how we tempt other people. For example, do you gossip at work or lead other people to gossip? Do parents fight in front of their children and teach their children to fight and bicker with each other? What about tempting others in impurity? Again, even unintentionally. Sometimes we do this, you know, a guy will sweet talk a girl or something like this. Or maybe it's more subtle, maybe by our clothing. Now everybody look at me, I don't want you looking around, look at me, okay? No casting of judgmental eyes on your neighbors. But think about the way you dress. For example, ladies, I don't mean to pick on you, but do you really realize or think about the way that guys really do think differently about the female body than you do? That's external temptation. Then there is the internal temptation. While baptism is like a medicine that washes and heals the open wound of original sin, concupiscence remains behind like a scar on our hearts. And as it confuses our own internal desires, we in effect do battle with ourselves. More often than not, that little voice telling you, go ahead, no one will know, is not the devil talking, but you confusing good and evil all by yourself. I don't know about you, but I don't need anyone to tempt me to eat a piece of chocolate cake or blueberry pie. No one needs to tell me it's good for you. I can do that all by myself. Lent is a battle with all these temptations, internal and external. And like any enemy, temptations come at us from all different angles and try to turn our weaknesses against us. Again, we see this as the devil tries to attack Jesus by appealing to four common human weaknesses where concupiscence is particularly prevalent. First, he attacks the senses and the appetites. The gospel tells us that Jesus was hungry, and so the devil tempts him to command that these stones become like loaves of bread. This Lent, then, do something to mortify and discipline your senses and your appetites. For example, sacrifice a favorite food or a favorite television show, or maybe, you know, a computer game. Second, the devil preys on our weakness to presume on God's mercy. And so he tempts Jesus. Throw yourself down and God will command the angels to support you lest you cast your foot against a stone. How many sins do we commit every day thinking, well, it's okay, God will forgive me for this? So during Lent, we make it a point to hold ourselves accountable, to admit our sins and go to confession, admit our sins to God, the priest, and to ourselves. Then the devil appears to our desire to possess things, to our greed, our avarice, and our lust. So it says, he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and said to him, all these I will give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me. And so in Lent, we work on not wanting to possess things by sacrificing things that we like, or by giving things that we like money, to others, the poor. And finally, the devil preys on our greatest weakness, our pride, self-love, inordinate self-love. And so he badgers Jesus. Remember how he does this? Twice he says, if you are the Son of God. Expecting Jesus, what do you mean, think, if I am the Son of God, of course I am, I can do that. And so in Lent, we practice humility like Jesus, trying to imitate Jesus by becoming servants to one another, performing good works for each other, and accepting the humiliation that life brings so often in day-to-day life. Today, as we continue to imitate Christ's 40 days and nights in the desert, we have to remember why he did all this. That he went out into the desert to be tempted by the devil, to face the same temptation that Adam and Eve had, and to conquer it. So this Lent, let us also go out with Jesus to do battle with our own temptations, whether from the devil, from our neighbors, or from ourselves. Not thinking we can defeat them on our own, but remembering that Christ has gone before us and is still with us today, giving us his almighty grace to win the battle. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.